You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It is Wednesday, April the 9th of 2025. Overcast skies in downtown Wausau. At our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street, temperature stands at 33 degrees. It is the Hump Day Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coming up a little bit later on in the program, we'll be joined by, from the Grand Theater in Wausau and the Performing Arts Foundation of Wausau, the Executive Director, Sean Wright. We'll talk to Sean about what's happening as we get into the month of April over at the Grand. Probably touch on how the Cardinals are doing as well. I'd like to do that with Sean Wright, a big St. Louis Cardinal fan. He'll be joining us in hour number two of the program. But to start things off, and actually as well, we will, at the end of the show, have our daily history lesson and our number for the day quiz, and we're going to see if Ian Welsh can continue his hot streak.
He's going for the hat trick, I hear.
Yeah, he's 2 for 2, and he has not had the perfect week yet. So Ian is going to have to try to keep going. The drama will continue if we can get another one here today.
Today's a big day.
So I'm going to have my cell phone close in case he's going to call a friend. And
he expects you to give the positive vibes.
Okay.
But Ian, are you...
Positive vibes helped the last time.
Yeah. So you're ready? Are you getting excited here?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about this. I got to make sure I stay focused today.
That's right. We want you to be focused. So that will be coming up at the end of the show. But to start things off, we're very happy to welcome back for the first hour of the show, Bob Look, and you're all hockey today.
Yeah, well,
you're an NHL All-Star.
Yeah, this goes back a few moons. These were back to the early days.
Back when it was the Campbell Conference and the Wales Conference.
And I thought I'd wear this because, well, you know, playoff time is coming up pretty quick for the NHL. And the NBA is just around the corner also with their playoffs. And of course, this tomorrow will be the semifinals of the Frozen Four for college hockey. So I just thought I'd wear something with a little NHL.
Did it break your heart when the Gophers lost in overtime?
I wept in total glee. Well, again, it's going to be interesting, and it's something. And if there's folks out there who are, I don't know, nothing on TV, try watching the two semifinal games Thursday and Saturday night. If you're not planning out going out anywhere, catch the championship game for Division I college hockey and tell me that you are not entertained.
By the way, you've been through this as well. Yesterday was my first outdoor game.
Yes.
It was so cold. I mean, I had the winter cap on. I had the winter parka on. And you know Kurt Keene, he's worked as a PA for the Cyclones and the Wausau West hockey team, comes over, he says, "Boy, it's almost like doing a hockey game." I said, "It's a lot colder than doing a hockey game."
Yeah.
Because indoors, you don't have the wind blowing through you.
Because the wind just goes right through you. And, of course, you're not in a press box, right?
We're outside. Yeah,
you're sitting out by the backstop, basically.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, and it's like, you know, I wait all winter and say, I can't wait to get outside and do a few games. And it's like, holy cow.
Why do they call them spring sports?
I know it. But it's that time of year. So it is springtime. It's going to warm up. We'll talk to Brittany Merlot coming up in just a few minutes. minutes as well about a much warmer forecast as we get to the weekend. Hey, since we got together last week was the big election, and there were so many aspects to it that were interesting. I mean, obviously sometimes infuriating, because you saw a guy like Elon Musk coming around to Wisconsin handing out big oversized $1 million checks, ironically to the president of the Wisconsin Young Republicans. Oh, what were the odds of that happening?
You know, it's a miracle.
But I wanted to get your general impression on what we saw, because I guess, first of all, before we talk about the actual results, the fact that it was for a spring election, obviously you'd like to have everybody show up. But for a spring election, boy, a lot of people did show up, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And I was, I was out of town. I was down in Iowa, but I was keeping track of, you know, the stuff, you know, there back home. And to be honest with you, before that election happened, before they, and this is after Musk made his little money run in the state of Wisconsin. When I saw the video from his appearances and stuff, and I went, I think this is going to be, you know, there's going to be a lot of people who would have supported maybe the one opponent, you know, Schimmel. Just maybe shrug their shoulders and
enough is enough, right?
Yeah, we don't want to be partisan. And I said said to some on Monday before the election, and somebody asked me what my thoughts were. I says, I would not be surprised if it's going to be like about a 55-45 split, right? And so then
Nostradamus here.
Well, no, I was just gauging it by basically Musk's appearance that weekend and putting apathy into the minds of people who would have normally gone out and voted, and kind of went, I don't want to be a part of this type
I
of
mean, I may not be able to vote for the liberal, but this is
has circus written all over it. And so that was just my feeling at the time. In fact, my friend reminded me when I got back into town, he goes, gosh, you were spot on. I go, people don't like to be played as fools.
Right. No, and you're exactly
never
right.
Never underestimate your audience, which is something I've learned when doing radio for eons ago. Never assume that the people aren't on top of things, because they are.
And the thing about that number, 55-45, is almost exactly the same as the Protasiewicz-Dan Kelly election. And I thought that was, because Dan Kelly has been basically known as one of the worst candidates that we've seen in the state of Wisconsin in a long time. And a guy like Brad Schimmel, I mean, you can like him or not like him, he was a guy that had won statewide. He'd almost won re-election as an attorney general. The fact that a guy that did have name recognition did run for about 18 months. I remember last summer, we have a common person that we used to, you know, work with and for over the owner of the Merrill radio station. And he told me that back last summer they were doing some live stuff at the Lincoln County Fair. And Brad Schimmel had this vehicle that he was driving around the state even way back then, talking to folks. And I mean, it really ran a long campaign. And the fact that he got out there and he does have name recognition and then loses by 10 points, the same margin that terrible candidate did 2 years ago, I don't know how much you take away from it, because one thing that we've learned in these elections in recent years, the people of the United States of America just go back and forth. So, like a pendulum. Oh. It seems as though anytime that a party's in power, the folks in this country seem to try to put the limits on it, and they'll vote against them, and then 2.5 months into a new administration, it's like, oh, you guys, the way that you're acting, we got to put a little bit of a pushback against you. It just seems like that pendulum just keeps going back and forth.
Sometimes I feel the electorate falls in love with somebody coming up with a simple bumper sticker kind of solution to a problem, you know. And instead of, some of these things are hard to come up with the solutions that make sense. You don't want to overtax people. You don't want to put money into something that is not going to be effective for the citizenry. So it's not one of these, snap your fingers, it'll work. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think a lot of times, you know, the public learns more and more about, you know, you just can't just phrase away or sloganize your way into winning, and then you may win because of it being that close of a divide, but then when the actual solution has got to be laid out there, and the solution hits the wall. AE tariffs, and AE, you know, just, you know, it's, oh, I'm gonna, and then suddenly you get thrown into it, and people start realizing, you know, that's not that smart of a thing to do. Now it's turned into a, let's try to make tariffs, you know, prove to people that this is a way to work. Well, people are looking at
there are
loss of revenue, loss of money, literally loss of money.
But the thing about that, and we're going to, I think, talk a little bit more about this at the bottom of the hour, is one thing, and I'm going to put the tariffs aspect maybe to the side. The one thing that's kind of jumping out to me right now is that we got a bunch of people that really aren't doing the work. Because I saw an article yesterday from a guy that is actually a tariff expert who has been cited by Trump and the administration as one of the people that they listen to, saying, no, that's not what I'm saying at all. These people have no idea what they're doing. The thing that is kind of jumping out right now, I don't get the sense that starts at the top and then trickles down, Republican trickle down here, and this is a different trickle down, that these people don't really study what they're doing. And I think I think the American people need to realize, doggone it, you want people in there who are intelligent. There's almost this anti-intellectualism that's still that threat out there that people don't like. And these people, I don't know whether it's true or not, but there was talk that Trump had that chart with the tariffs on there that was put through some sort of AI system, that they didn't basically do any work on this. I mean,
just throwing stuff up there.
But the idea that, you know, that some folks feel like, huh, we don't want smart people doing a lot of these jobs. Doggone it, I want smart people that really study this and work hard at this. And the RFKs of the world and the other folks that are in this administration come across as people that are not serious.
Well, I've mentioned this how long ago now, about I've labeled this particular time from the election back in 2024 and to right now and continuing on right now, I says this is the great age of ignorance, that people could have some people that have experience in making things work, being smart at doing things, but they'll get cast aside as, no, we can't have that. We're going to go with the person who sounds like they're a leadership. They have great leadership and they know how to do it. When I go to that doctor's office, I look at that diploma and say, that's the reason why I'm here rather than listening to something on Facebook.
We're going to come right back. We'll talk to Brittany Merlot about the weather. We'll come back, talk with more about what's happening in the news with Bob Look for this first hour. Glad you could be with us. It is Wednesday morning. The time is 8:19. Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And again, you can also join us on YouTube. Go to YouTube.com and the 98.9 WXCO channel on YouTube. Be able to see a video stream of what is going on here in the studio. Bob Look sitting across from me. And you can also see now back at her home office is our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. And that's one reason just to watch
YouTube. She sure cancels us out, doesn't she?
Exactly right. But Brittany, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Absolutely fine. And a little overcast here. I do say, I was saying to Bob earlier, yesterday was our first outdoor spring sports broadcast.
Spring.
It was spring. Cold outside yesterday. I mean, and for whatever reason, and I think, Bob, you know this as well, for whatever reason, the windiest area of Wausau are the Ball Diamonds at Wausau West.
Yeah, it kind of hangs right out there and wide open there. It's almost like a Texas prairie out there, isn't it? Yeah.
It is always windier there than anywhere else. And yesterday, that wind was going through me. It was like 40 degrees at first pitch, and it felt a lot colder than that.
You want to know something? I knew it was going to be too cold for a baseball or softball, when he uses Zamboni to re-groom the infield. Now, that kind of told me something was wrong.
Yeah, but I tell you, all winter long, I'm telling folks, man, I can't wait to get outside and do some broadcasts outside. It feels so nice when the sun is shining and you can enjoy the spring weather. Yesterday was not the case, but we're getting closer, aren't we, Brittany?
Yes, we are. It is around the corner. I do see it, and it's landing on the weekend, which is perfect timing because I always hate when it's so nice outside and you're stuck at work. So we're going to take this. So today, whatever, it's a work day. It's a school day. Who cares? It's cloudy. It's dreary. We do have light rain, spotty drizzle moving in by this afternoon. We'll stay stuck under overcast skies for tomorrow, too. And we could still see some more sprinkles in the morning tomorrow. But highs today are going to be in the upper 40s. We're going to hit the upper 40s tomorrow, too. I know you want something warmer, and it's going to be here for Friday and into the weekend. So the sun comes back out on Friday in abundance, and it's going to stay here pretty much the entire weekend up until Sunday night. That's when we're going to see some more clouds start to roll in. So beautiful out there Friday, highs in the mid-50s. We'll climb to the low 60s on Saturday, and then into the mid-60s on Sunday with some upper 60s on Monday. So it's going to be nice, but it does drop a little bit after that. So do take advantage of this weekend if you can.
Fantastic. And again, what's the average temperature around this time of year? Are we up to 50 yet for the average?
Yes, we are. Low 50s would be the average right now.
All right. So I still do see, I don't know, do I see any snow that's sort of piled up around here? I don't think so. So I think that it's a good thing to be able to look forward as we get, I mean, we're almost mid-April. Doggone it, we should almost be to spring, right?
I know. But hey, sometimes April has tricks up her sleeve too, so don't jinx it.
Oh, one more thing. You'd mentioned earlier this week, this is severe weather week. Is that correct?
It's Severe Weather Awareness Week. Okay. I mean, it's just a week where we should just have a plan and practice it. If you're in the path of a storm, know what to do. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to take shelter? The tornado sirens are going to go off tomorrow at 1:45 and 6:45. And do it twice because you're in different areas. So you have different plans and places to take shelter, whether you're at school and work, or you're at home or a grocery store. Figure out a plan and just know it, because muscle memory is so important when an emergency hits. So take advantage of it this week.
Yeah. My first move is just running around in a circle screaming, but that's maybe not good.
See, that's what we're trying to make sure that you don't do. Because if you have a plan, then you're just like, now's the time.
Thanks for cluing me in.
And the good news is here at the studio, we got a great basement. So it's like, it's very, very secure. So if there's problems, but then they'll say, no, you got to be on the air.
That's right.
Wimp. Exactly. You can't go downstairs.
Get out there and talk.
And Brittany, what are the complete details for our midweek weather forecast?
All right. Mostly cloudy today. Spotty sprinkles moving in by this afternoon, and that light drizzle continuing tonight. Could mix with a few flurries overnight, but no accumulations are expected. And of course, tomorrow it'll be drizzle again. Highs reach the upper 40s once more, and then the warm-up starts. Friday, sunny. Highs at 55. Saturday, we're looking at highs of about 61 degrees. Sunday, 63. And Monday, 65.
Fantastic. Well, again, we will look forward to that. Man, the sunny and warm on the weekend. That is the kind of forecast that we like to get from you. Hey, Brittany, thanks again for the info. Have a great Wednesday, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
Bye, Brittany.
You too. Bye.
That's our Brittany Merlot. Joins us each weekday morning at 8:21 here on the program. Right now, overcast skies. 33 degrees is the temperature. The winds are out of the east at 7 miles per hour. Wind chill factor of 27. Dew point 16. So the relative humidity is 49%. Barometer at 29.99 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. Ian, is your dad Still looking at the, what's he say about getting those golf courses open up? Is he keeping an eye on that?
Well, he's, last time he checked to see how many golf courses were open, I think he only saw that one of them was open.
Who's open? What, Rib?
Rib is always open. Yeah.
That's always the one that opens.
No, they'll push
he
up.
He started the practicing with the Wausau East golf team. I think they had their first, I believe it was an indoor practice.
Sure. I remember that. I actually played golf in high school. And
my dad is getting ready.
Indoors. Yeah, those indoors.
Not quite ready to actually, you know, use a lot of the courses yet.
Well, I was down in Iowa last week, and courses were green.
Oh, geez.
And was really nice. It was middle of the weekend. And in fact, that when I got back to town last week, Wednesday, it was like 68 degrees and a nice breeze out there. And then by the time I got home, I was going through soupy fog and 35 degrees and a little bit of snow patch here and there. Thus is the difference.
Yep. But I know the golfers are more than ready to get out there. So hopefully sooner. I mean,
they're getting antsy.
What is it? It's Masters Week, by the way.
Masters.
I should have worn my green jacket. No, exactly. Sorry. Don't have one.
And make sure that the riffraff ain't allowed in.
That's right. You're not one of us.
The time is 8:29. We have an information update coming up next. And then back with more with Bob Look here on 98.9 WXCO. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. Time is 8:35. 33 degrees is the temperature here in downtown Wausau at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Hey, I forgot to mention as well that you can join us. Give us a call or a text at 715-382-9297. Again, that's 715-382-9297. That number is either to call or text. And, of course, you can also use your Civic Media app by just opening up, pushing the button. And we would love to hear from you, even if it's to say, you know, Chad, you're off your rocker. Bob's right, of course.
Well, I'll throw a trivia question out there. There are three players who played for both the Milwaukee Brewers and the Milwaukee Braves. Can you name those three players?
Wow.
Think about it out there.
Text it in.
Yeah, text
it. Or call us then. I mean, three. I mean, there's one that's easy.
Mm-hmm.
But two others. Huh. Interesting.
There's three total that actually played.
Right. And actually, you know, when you think about it, because you think of the old Braves. They always say the old Milwaukee Braves. Mm-hmm. The old Milwaukee. It was like 5 years. It really is not that long. It was 65 was the last year of the Braves. Yeah. And 70 was the first year of the Brewers. So the idea that a few players.
But there were three players that they played. And, of course, one we pretty much know.
Yeah.
But then there's two others. That's the trivia question. All if you righty. Think you're really hot, try that one.
I got to ask you real fast.
Yeah.
Did you just happen to know this, or did somebody tell you this at some
point? I knew
this. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Because you were down there at that time.
And... Yeah. Yeah. I saw Braves games.
Right, right.
When I was a kid. It was one of these things that I looked it up to verify it to make sure that I wasn't missing somebody. And doggone it, I was right.
Hey, the first person that gets it, I'll hook you up with, you know what I'm going to do? I got in the back. This is, you know, we got some Chula Vista giveaways.
Oh, yeah?
If you out there know the answer to this, the you know, three players that played for the Milwaukee Braves and the Milwaukee Brewers, played for the Braves and the Brewers.
Not coaches anything like that. Actual
and you're
players.
The first one that either calls us or texts us, I will hook you up with... an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells.
And if nobody calls, I win.
There you go, because you know
Wait a minute, is that illegal?
So, yeah. So, what three players played for both the Milwaukee Braves and the Milwaukee Brewers? So, again, 715-382-9297. 715-382-9297. I'll keep an eye on the text line.
Yeah.
And we'll keep an eye with Ian on the phone line.
Ian's looking it up. He's trying to win.
No.
No?
Honestly, I do not. I know off the top of my head.
Okay. All right. It's not easy, folks. It's one of these things that, first of all, if you're going to know it, you're going to be up in years like I am. Okay.
Frankly, I mean, I have no idea on the other two, to be honest with you. I have to really think about that. I always thought I kind of knew this kind of stuff, but boy, this one blows me away. That's very interesting. So very, very good.
one of those players that turned out to be a pretty decent manager. There's a little hint.
You got something to make me think here. I'm supposed to be talking to you here instead of thinking, you know. Hey, let's talk about the news. And, yeah, okay. Obviously, you know, sometimes I keep saying to Ian, because at the end of the show, we say, well, what number day is it of the year and how many days are left? And say, well, this year's flying on by. And then at the same time, it feels like the two and two-thirds months that we have gone through this administration have seemed like very, very long, very, very slow. It feels like it's been a lot longer than this. But man, oh man. I mean, I was expecting the bounce back with the markets. I don't know much about the markets. I got to admit that. I'm not somebody that has, you know, a lot of experience. But boy, this is, and we even hear rumbles now from Republicans that are saying, hey, Donald, stop this. And he's not listening. He is such a, for him to say, I might be wrong, is so against what he is. What's your overall take on this? Because this is such an unforced error, isn't it?
Well, let's first lay out how this could be easily resolved. It only takes a handful of members of Congress or of the U.S. Senate from the Republican Party, from the GOP, could turn around on a vote. Because tariffs and acknowledging tariffs and starting tariffs and that is supposed to be generated out of the Congress. The president can sit there and offer them, saying, I would like to have this done. Well, the Congress is supposed to be the final say-so, not having a executive order causing these kind of things. It just takes a handful of GOP members to vote with Democrats, say, no, that duty we do here in the U.S. Congress, in the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate. That, right there, that would finish it. Until they start developing a spine, right, or until they start saying this is enough, we can say this is enough. They can say this is enough. Don't identify me. But until you stand up in front of the Congress or the Senate and say, right, I think this is, you know, wrongo. Get the decision back into the Congress before we cause a total collapse.
During one of our news reports yesterday, there was a soundbite from Senator Ron Johnson, and it was hilarious listening to him try to put himself into a pretzel knot here, saying that basically frankly, Ron Johnson, for all the terrible things I've said about him over the years, he knows this is wrong. But he refuses to come right out and criticize Trump and to call on Trump to overturn. He just says, "Well, we're going to keep monitoring it. I know this is causing some problems with some farmers and other business owners here in the state of Wisconsin. And if it is affecting you, contact me." I mean, he will just not come out and say this is wrong. You could imagine if, again, a Democrat had come out and put all the exact same policies, his hair would be on fire. And it was like, come on, Ron, this is one chance. You can make people like me actually say something good about you if you just become a real leader here. And he just will not do it.
He's a human example of don't bite the hand that feeds him. And that's kind of like how most of the people in Congress look at it. Oh my gosh, I might get the executive upset. Oh, wah. There's a lot of upset that goes in part of politics. You don't get everything you want. You can't always get what you want, as the Stones would say. But when you see something, it's so blatantly in front of you that this is wrong, you should try to write it, not go, well, it's not my job, or I don't want to upset the person who's doing this. You know, this, you know, after you, my dear Watson, after you, you know, no, take charge. You're there for representing your voters, your citizens. Don't represent the executive branch. You are supposed to be there to represent your citizens, the people who put you there. That's just my show.
He's just making up these numbers, too. I mean, 104% tariff on Chinese goods. Beijing has now announced retaliatory tariffs of 84% on U.S. goods. I mean, dozens of other trading partners face tariff rates up to 50%. I mean, and he's just making this stuff up. There's no economic relevance to what he's doing here. It's just crazy. And frankly... In the first Trump administration, he had a different level of trade wars that just took. We had to bail out farmers upwards of 20 some billion dollars.
Their market just about disappeared.
And why don't we hear more about that? To be honest with you, again, both in 2020 and 2024, the topics discussed in our elections are so silly. I'm sorry. It's a silliness. And that there's a lack of seriousness, both from the President of the United States, but also, I think, from the people that vote for him and the people that cover him.
Well, somebody might say, boy, that idea about the tariffs, that'd be like somebody who's stupid enough to like bankrupt a casino. Oh, well, ding, round two. Here we go. Again, folks, I mean, there comes a time where you've run out of words, or you run out of angles, and you run out of just plain common sense and lay it in front of people. Even the people who know better, who are still supporting this, know better. It's more of a stubbornness. It's more of a jackass way of doing things. I'm not going to change my mind. Okay. You know, that's you call it and...
By the way, what was your impression of Senator Booker's marathon speech at Senate?
It was impressive because he didn't just go off and start reading War and Peace or the Bible or something like that. He spent that time talking about issues, talking about people who contacted members of Congress and members of the U.S. Senate. And just, you know, bring their voices forward so that people can know that there's a lot of other folks out there that are feeling the same way as we do. That why is this happening? Why are we letting this happen? You know, is it going to change the minds? Well, maybe eventually the more and more the other side starts looking at it saying, you know, we're going to have to put a stop at this like now. Well, that now is getting into the danger zone of never. So let's open our ears and open our minds and try to do the things that's right for the people.
And exactly. And we saw it here in central Wisconsin on Saturday. We saw it throughout the country that people just want to be able to let their voice be heard and have their representatives voice the frustration as well. That's, again, why folks like Schumer, I still think the Democrats at some point are going to have to make a major change there. But boy, we see what happens here. When Booker came out, it was nothing but universal praise for people. It's like, finally, we got somebody out there who's actually pushing back. And another idea I just saw yesterday that they do over in Britain, they have what, a shadow cabinet.
Yes.
I think that would be something, because I do think that not only do you have to say what Donald Trump is doing is terrible, but what would you do? That would lead, I think, again, to have discussions about issues, to have different policies be talked about in a way that aren't talked about at this point.
Well, I'm going to go into history books a little bit here. Remember Senator William Proxmire?
Of course, the Golden Fleece Man.
The Golden Fleece Award. He would do it once a week, and he would be on the Senate floor and just point out sometimes ridiculous but honest things that were being funded And he just put that out there. Why is this being done? How is this helping? It is, again, it's a sweet little deal for a donor or something like that that gets, you know, passed on through. But he started that and just throwing a spotlight on things. And the Golden Fleece Awards that he just kept, you know, doing over and over and over. Did it make any big difference? Well, it got people a little bit more knowledge at how things do slip through the cracks within the Congress. And again, they're not perfect, but the point being is until you shine a light on things, you'll never get that kind of, you know, response back from the electorate saying, hey, we don't want this.
One of my favorite things about Proxmire, again, is in his last two campaigns for re-election, he spent less than $200 on these campaigns.
Yep.
He refused contributions, spent less than $200 out of his own pocket, which covered the expenses related to filing re-election paperwork, and he mailed back unsolicited contributions.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow.
Figure that one out.
People would say, no, that can't happen.
Yes, it can. I met him four times in my lifetime, and I never tried to find him. He was always places that I remember bumping into him in downtown Milwaukee. He was working as a garbage man in Milwaukee just to get an idea of what they go through. Didn't have any press along with him. All of a sudden, here, you know, hi, I'm Bill Proxmire. I'm your senator. And I'm like, oh, hi. You know,
what are you doing here?
Yeah, what are you doing? Well, I want to see what the garbage collectors have to go through.
We'll come right back. A few more minutes with Bob Look coming up next. The time is 8:49 here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Plus, again, you can join us on YouTube, youtube.com. Go to youtube.com and the 98.9 WXCO part of the website and app. And actually, we got Jacqueline from Mosinee. She says actually five. And I think this is not correct because I know for a fact that Ted Simmons did not play for the Milwaukee Braves.
Right.
What'd you say?
Because Ted played for the Atlanta Braves.
Atlanta Braves, right. We're talking Milwaukee.
Okay, let me I'll go through this list here and let's see if what she said. Ashley, five. Hank Aaron.
Yeah, it's one.
Felipe Alou,
yep.
Then says Gary Sheffield. Again, played for the Atlanta Braves.
Nope.
Not the Milwaukee
nope.
Braves. Jim Wynn. Okay, and Ted Simmons, so that's not right either. Jacqueline, you got two of the three. So
you're close.
So
the third one is
don't give it away because we got a few minutes left here.
It's
very hard.
Yeah, this is a toughie. This isn't a piece of cake, folks.
Okay. Hey, you get all three right here, folks.
You got two right now. You're looking for one more.
We will hook you up with the overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Speaking of the Brewers, first time this year they're over 500.
Yeah. I loved the first few games when they were getting blown away by the New York Yankees and the Fairweather fans. Oh, this team stinks. Oh, they're no good. Oh, and I'm looking at them and says, they play 162 games, folks. You know, just relax. It's, you know, this is a long way. And what do you know? What happens? You know,
and the thing that's so incredibly interesting is they had the three games in a row where they gave up double figures, and then all of a sudden the pitching turned around. You get this guy, love the game named Chad, which is turned it around. You know, and but I mean it's like this; it just turns on a dime.
My Brew Crew review, you know, at the start of this, the first over a week, and I says It seems every year the Milwaukee Brewers find a pitcher that no one is thinking about and comes up and adds some stability. They may not be world beaters, but they just kind of right the ship. Chad Patrick is this year. Last year, Tobias Myers.
Right.
I think the year before that was Colin Ray, who was like a journeyman type of player. And they basically forced him into starting games, and all of a sudden he's putting in four, five, six innings of maybe one run ball or two run. Not a world beater, but level the playing field a little bit more. A little bit more. And Colin Ray right now, I believe, is with the Cubs. Mm-hmm. You got, you know, but the point being is you never know where that surprise player may come from.
And they made a trade with Boston. And,
yeah.
And actually, I don't have the name in front of me, but I did read an article. It sounds like it's an intriguing prospect again. The article I read, I think it was in The Athletic, talking about, you know, he needs to develop maybe another pitch. And if there's anybody that's been able to develop pitchers, it's Milwaukee.
Yeah, Priestley is his name, I believe. Quinn Priestley.
It sounds like a guy that was a fairly high draft pick, a number one draft pick, has kind of struggled a little bit early in his career. But there are some pieces there that something that it's almost, you can almost see the hands rubbing together and all the pitching staff of the Milwaukee Brewers. Okay, we got something to work with here.
Well, as I said before, at the end of last season, when the Brewers signed Chris Hook, their pitching coach, I said, that's the big free agent signing as far as I was concerned. I was kind of going, don't lose this guy. This guy has a touch at being able to get the most out of just about everybody that he works with. So, he hasn't proved me wrong yet. And by the way, throw a hint out there for that one player. it's something that you'd see on top of your house.
Got another text, Brian and Moultonee. Aaron Alou Adcock.
No.
I didn't think so either.
Joe Adcock.
He was done pretty early.
Yeah, he was out, I think, even last year of the Brewers, he was gone. He was already with somebody else, and I think he retired about 68.
Yeah, 69. I think so. 715-382-9297. 715-382-9297.
We got him thinking.
Yeah,
it's going to be one of these that you go, oh, huh? He's not a star, folks.
Got another minute or so before we have Bob give you the answer, because I am curious here. I really am.
It's going to be disappointing when you hear it.
Yeah. Oh, please.
What? Ooh.
By the way, you got to mention, the Bucks were down by 24 in the fourth quarter last night, and they came back and won.
I watched that.
Can you imagine the folks that left? Because you know there has been folks that left.
Oh, yeah. On a work game's night, over. You know? They headed out of the Fiserv Forum, and the next thing you know, I watched it, and it was like crazy. The crowd was really into it, and it was flipping back and forth between the Bucks and the Brewers. But good for the Bucks.
We got a call. We may be right under the gun here.
Oh my gosh, this is exciting,
guys! All we have a caller who may have an answer.
All right, Terry, we got Terry on the line. What's your answer here?
The clue had to be up on the roof. Phil Roof.
Yes!
Hey!
Phil Roof, a catcher who was with the Braves in their last year in Milwaukee as the Braves, and then he was a backup catcher for the Milwaukee Brewers in their early early run in Milwaukee. There you go!
Terry, stay on the line. We're going to get your information. We'll get you an overnight stay at the Chula Vista. Hey, Bob, we're having some changes here. We're going to get you back. It's not going to be the same starting in a couple of weeks. People that listen to Pat heard that we're having some change of that programming. But appreciate everything you've been doing for this program. But we're going to keep you around, I'm sure. I'm going to drag you in because we got to talk at least a little.
It wouldn't be the first time I got fired by a radio station.
So. I've been there myself. But thanks a lot, Bob. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. Great rest of your week.
And everybody, keep supporting local radio. That's all I can say.
We'll be right back here on WX.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.